Let's look to the Lord in prayer as Mr. Bill Thomas leads us.
Father, truly as we come here this morning, you do deserve our praise. We praise you for what you do for us every day. Praise you for the long suffering that you have towards us too, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can be here today to be under the sound of the word and sing these songs of praise to you. We pray that we be open to the Word of God. We know that there's a portion in this message today for each one of us. Pray that we'll receive it and we'll go from it and be strong and be able to tell others of Jesus Christ and His willingness to save our souls in the next late hour. We pray for our country, Lord. We pray for the message to follow that you bless Pastor Garrison, help us, Lord, to serve you and do that right in the praise things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see each one of you here this morning, and especially welcome you if you're visiting with us. And if you would, we'd like for you to take a visitor's card. You'll find one in the front of your songbook. Fill that out and let us know who you are. And as you go out this morning in the foyer, there's a table set up, and we'd like to give you a packet of information about the church here. And you can exchange that visitor's card for that packet, and you're welcome to it. We'd love to have you come back again and join us if the Lord should lead in that direction. We want to turn now to number 496. We'll remain seated as we sing. 496.
Thank you.
have several announcements to mention to you. There will be a school board meeting following the service this evening. School board members, keep that in mind. Also, we will be remembering the Lord in the Lord's Supper this coming Wednesday evening. So keep that in mind. And on Thursday night, there will be no youth meeting, no young people's meeting, because Thursday is Thanksgiving and many families have other plans on that day. So no youth meeting on Thursday night. I have a card here to read from Lenica Gilmore. She says, "Dear church family, a little over 2 months ago, I was informed that my apartment would be renovated with several improvements, including heating and air, a new bathroom and flooring, just to mention a few. I am now back in my cozy palace, and I'm still finding new surprises. I would like to thank all those who have been involved and contributed, whether it be from scheduled work days or even working after hours. It was truly a labor of love, and I'm so blessed and thankful. I cannot express this enough. For all of you, I thank you. Above all, I do thank the Lord. With love to my church family, in the name of our Lord, Lenica."
Amen.
We have several people we're praying for this week, and I'd like to especially mention those to you. We're praying for Glenda Arnold, Jerry Smith's sister. Glenda's been diagnosed with rectal cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy and radiation. We also are thinking of Claudia Glunt, Levina Honeycutt's sister. She's undergoing special procedures to help clear some scar tissue that's blocking her veins. And so she has a pretty serious problem there and is going through procedures to try to clear those blockages. Also, remember Aaron Pies, Michael Pies' nephew. Michael said this morning that Aaron's been in the hospital in Chapel Hill just recently with various problems that he's dealing with, but his cancer that he has in his liver and lymph nodes and lungs is at a point where the doctors have said that there's no additional treatments that are possible that they can give him, so we want to continue to pray for Aaron. Also, remember the family of Henry and Clara Hennings. Clara was Bill Thomas's sister, and Clara passed away recently. Her husband Henry also passed away just a few days later. So we're especially praying for members of that family. And we continue to pray for Brooke Pravat. Mitchell and Brooke Pravat. Mitchell is Mark Pravat's nephew, and his wife Brooke is expecting their first child in December. And their complications, and Brooke has been admitted to the hospital for continuous care during the weeks leading up to her due date. We continue to pray for Alan Kelly, who's dealing with liver problems that doctors have discovered, and he's undergoing testing and meeting with his doctors to determine his ongoing treatment. We do want to add Don Sebastian back to our short-term prayer list. Don has been dealing with pancreatic cancer for a long time, and a recent CAT scan shows that his cancer is advancing. And so we want to keep especially pray for Brother Don Sebastian. And so those are some folks that are especially on our short-term list this week, and we want to remember them as the Lord gives us opportunity. We'll ask the men to come now to receive this morning's offering. Let's look to the Lord in prayer once more as Aaron Ingram asks the Lord's blessing on the offering.
Dear Lord, we do thank you that we can gather together this morning as we sing and look into your word and hear your word taught and minister to each other. We do pray for those that in our church family here that are experiencing health problems and other problems, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with us, Lord, that this church family would continue to be a witness and a testimony for you. And I just thank you for each one here today, each one that is connected to this place, that you would just bless them, that you bless this offering today, that you bless our pastor, and Lord, that we would just look to you for guidance. And we just thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made on the cross of Calvary for us. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that message in song. We have some special music this morning, and that's going to be Jacob and Caitlin Francis and Laurie Creech, and they'll come and sing for us after we turn to hymn number 5 and stand and sing together. Hymn number 5.
Of my God and King, the triumphs of praise. Song is very appropriate in the circumstances that we find ourselves in the days following this election. The recount is still going on in Judge Newby's race. As looked at it just a few minutes ago, he's 410 votes ahead. So we need to keep praying, as the song says, that that margin will hold and increase. Turning in your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And we want to read just one verse. It's verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be in this service. We thank you for these who have come. Thank you for those who are watching by sermon audio. We thank you for your presence here. And we pray that we would allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts today. We thank you as we consider this Thanksgiving season. As we just sang, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avail for me. We thank you for the unspeakable gift of the sacrifice of Calvary's cross. And we pray that you would draw from our hearts today as we consider these things, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday afternoon, the K-5 in first grade and second grade presented a Thanksgiving program. It was terrific. I don't know any other way to describe it. And in interest of full disclosure, there was not one garrison in it. So I want you to know that that is not why I thought it was terrific. You know, we have a Christian school here, and there is teaching and learning going on here. And sometimes I think we might tend to take that for granted. But then we come to a program like the one Friday, and we're reminded again, not only that these children are being taught, but what they are being taught. The truth of God's Word. The truth about the founding of this country. They're being taught to love America. The second graders sang a song that was just warmed your heart to hear it. And then the K-5 and the first graders came out dressed as Indians and pilgrims. And they sang the songs and they quoted the scriptures of thanksgiving. It was a tremendous blessing. And I see a program like this and I think, why isn't this school two or three times bigger than it is? This auditorium was full of parents and grandparents Friday. And I wonder why they aren't going out and telling their friends and family, we have found the place. We found the place where your children need to be. I grieve for the children of Christians who will not, for whatever their reason, send their children to Calvary Christian School. We ran into some friends of ours Friday evening. And I walked over to speak to them. And the first thing out of their mouths, after we exchanged the typical pleasantries of how you're doing, and they both said it almost at the same time, how can we get our grandchild in Calvary Christian School? These are parents who sent both of their children to public school. They knew our school was here, but they chose, like so many Christians do, to send their children to public school. And here they were, and both of them said it several times, they weren't going to let me off the hook. How can we get our granddaughter in Calvary Christian School? Because our granddaughter is not going to public school. Friday was a real blessed day to see the fruits of the labors for the Lord of the teachers, Ms. Blanchard and Ms. Thomas and Ms. Rembert here at Calvary Christian School at 1 o'clock, and then a few hours later to hear these grandparents say with an intensity in their voice that they want their grandchild to be here at the school. It was a double blessing. And we thank the Lord for these things. This program that these classes put on Friday, I do not hesitate to say, it may have been the most important Thanksgiving program ever presented at this school. And it's like that because Thanksgiving is under attack in this country. The governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, I'll tell you what political party he belongs to, although you probably don't need to know, or you probably have figured it out. He's a Democrat. He has essentially canceled Thanksgiving in the state of Washington. The website Hot Air, and it's a good website. The value of it is not in its name. But I want you to listen to this. They report that Washington residents can only enjoy the holiday with those with whom they live. The only people allowed into your home for Thanksgiving dinner are those who have self-quarantined for 2 weeks and test negative for the virus. Not many people come into your house under those circumstances. This is happening in Washington State. In the United States of America. And it's not the only state. Right here in North Carolina, the executive order that Governor Cooper issued on November the 10th that reduced mass gatherings to 10 includes private homes for Thanksgiving. You could be fined up to $200 for violating the order. The governor is targeting home gatherings because they say they've seen a spike in outbreaks from homes. A couple of weeks ago, it was churches that were being targeted. Folks, when the government of a nation at any level begins to target and attack churches and homes and dictate to them and seek to control them, then you are living in a nation that is in serious trouble. I heard on the news Friday as I was driving a government official from Ohio, I believe. Although it could have been from any of the states. He said that we need to sacrifice this Thanksgiving to preserve Thanksgiving in the future. Folks, if we give in and we sacrifice this Thanksgiving, there may never be another one. I say that because Dr. Anthony Fauci, and if you have any doubt that this virus is being used to rob the people of this nation of our freedom, you need to look no further than this man. He's been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institute of Health for 37 years. So if you follow the science of mathematics, that means he was in that position in 2009 during the H1N1 swine flu pandemic. He was in that position when the Obama administration and the Center for Disease Control instructed states to shut down testing for the H1N1 virus and to stop counting cases of this deadly virus. And the reason given by the Obama administration, and by the way, the man who headed up that administration's efforts against the swine flu was Vice President Joseph R. Biden. And the reason that the administration and the CDC gave for doing this, shutting down testing, shutting down reporting of cases, why waste resources testing for H1N1 flu when the government has already confirmed there's an epidemic? And to show you just how poor the response of the Obama-Biden administration was, Ron Klain, he's a man that you have probably heard his name in the news. He was the chief of staff to then Vice President Biden. He was the Obama administration's Ebola czar in 2014. And if Joe Biden is successful in stealing this election, he's been named as the chief of staff for the word stick in my throat. For the man who would be president. I want you to listen to what he said. Quote, "It is purely a fortuity that this isn't one," he's talking about the swine flu, "that this isn't one of the great mass casualty events in American history. It had nothing to do with us doing anything right. It just had to do with luck. And yet, there was not one word, not even a peep, out of Dr. Fauci back in those days." But fast forward to 2020, a Republican administration, and all you hear is Dr. Fauci. He's everywhere. I'm waiting for him to be on the screen at the, you know, you go to fill your car up with gas now, and gas station TV comes on. And so I'm waiting for his face to pop up there. But he's everywhere in the media. And he said this recently to the American people, quote, "Now is the time to do what you're told." The Epoch Times reports that Dr. Fauci co-authored an article in the September 3rd edition of Cell, that's a science journal, in which he warned against a looming pandemic era, during which we will endure repeated episodes of worldwide illness. And so to avoid calamity, Fauci wrote, "We must empower the UN and other international organizations," I guess that's the World Health Organization, "to," quote, "rebuild the infrastructure of human existence from cities to homes to workplaces and recreational and gathering venues, homes, at Thanksgiving is certainly one of the gathering venues that the doctor is referring to. He went on to say that chief among them, that is these gathering venues, chief among this need, as he sees it, to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence, chief among them are reducing crowding at home. There's home mentioned again. Chief among them are reducing crowding at home, work, and in public places. This is why I believe, folks, if we go along and we give in and we sacrifice this Thanksgiving as we're being instructed to do, there may never be another Thanksgiving as we have known it. This is why we need to be reminded of this command here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This verse commands us to continue in prayer as Jacob and Caitlin and Laurie just saying, keep on praying. It commands us to do that. And it commands us to continue with thanksgiving. Look over a few pages at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God. You know, so many times believers are saying, well, I wonder what the will of God is. Well, there are a number of places where the Lord tells us what His will is. In everything, give thanks. Thanks. The will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus is to give thanks. Not just on one day a year, certainly on that day, but every day of the year. Now look back at Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, and we want to look at the last verse of that psalm, verse 23. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoso offereth praise. And what is praise? Well, if you look up that word praise, it's word 8426 in your Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. You'll find that 18 of the 32 times this word appears in the Old Testament, it means thanksgiving. It means thanksgiving in songs of public worship. We sang that. You all sang that song this morning. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. This word means thank offering. It means sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107 and verse 22 says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Psalm 116 and verse 17, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." And so the message of Psalm 50 and verse 23 is, whoso offereth praise, whoso offereth thanksgiving, whoso offereth thanksgiving in songs of public worship, whoso offereth a thank offering, whoso offereth the sacrifice of thanksgiving, glorifies me. Me. Folks, this is why thanksgiving in this country is under attack. Because it glorifies the God of heaven. It glorifies the Creator God. Psalm 100, the Thanksgiving Psalm. Let's turn over there if you will. It's not too far from where we are. Psalm 100. The children quoted it Friday. I'm going to read it to you. They've learned it. They've committed it to memory. That portion of Scripture is hidden in their hearts. Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. There's our word. 84:26. Whoso offereth praise, whoso offereth thanksgiving, glorifieth me. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth all generations. This psalm is why thanksgiving is under attack. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. There's the Creator. He hath made us. There's the acceptance and the acknowledgement of the truth of the biblical account of creation. It is He that hath made us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created two individuals first. A male and a female. And He brought those two individuals, the male and the female, together in marriage to form a family. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And it's into this relationship of male and female, husband and wife, this relationship of marriage, that children are to be conceived and brought into the world to continue the pattern of the family that God established to build the infrastructure of human existence. Right in the middle of this Thanksgiving psalm is the message of the Creator and His creation. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Here in this psalm of thanksgiving is the rejection of humanism and the rejection of evolution. Here in this psalm of thanksgiving is the accepting and the acknowledging of the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the rejecting of the brick of man's philosophy of evolution and humanism. The brick of Dr. Fauci and all the other globalists who want to empower the United Nations and other international organizations to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. Folks, God has already built the infrastructure of human existence. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We read that here in verse 3. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. The earth is that pasture. And the earth is the Lord's. He created it. And the fullness thereof, the world, and all things therein. Acts 17, beginning in verse 24, says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Folks, God is the builder of the infrastructure of human existence. Just as this psalm of thanksgiving says, it is He that hath made us. But then man comes along. He hates this psalm of thanksgiving. And so he says, it is we ourselves that have made us. It is we ourselves that must tear down. Folks, if you're going to rebuild something, you're going to have to tear down what's there. And so it is we ourselves that must tear down and rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. We're watching it right before our eyes, by the way. God built the infrastructure of human existence with Himself as the measure of all things. We're going to rebuild it, man says. We're going to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence with ourselves as the measure of all things. God built the infrastructure of human existence on His creation. We're going to rebuild it, man says, on evolution. God built the infrastructure of human existence on the man and the woman that He created. We're going to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence by making ourselves into men and women as we choose. It's happening right before our eyes. Transgenders, transgenderism. People remaking, rebuilding the infrastructure of their existence to the extent that they can. God built the infrastructure of human existence on the marriage between a man and a woman. Man says, we're going to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence on two men or two women, homosexuals and lesbians, and we're going to join them in marriage, what we're going to call marriage, and we're going to declare that to be true and right and good. Folks, when these people talk about rebuilding the infrastructure of human existence, you better not take it lightly. They're doing it. They're doing it. This is why Thanksgiving is under attack. This is why it's under attack, because right here in the middle of this psalm of Thanksgiving is the message that refutes all of that. Exposes man. The weapon that is being used right now is this Chinese virus. It's being used to set up government control over the lives of every individual in this country. I want to remind you again of what Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito said. Just said it week before last, Thursday a week ago. The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. It is an indisputable statement of fact. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020. One of these is the dominance of lawmaking by executive fiat, executive order rather than legislation. Governor Inslee, Washington. Governor Cooper, North Carolina. And the result is what Justice Alito said is religious liberty fast becoming a disfavored right. And one of the disfavored rights of our religious liberty that has become more and more disfavored is Thanksgiving. The children sang two songs Friday about Thanksgiving. One of them I don't think I had ever heard. But one of the lines in it stood out. Talked about gathering together with family and friends. The other song is one that we know well. In fact, you all sang it this morning. We gather together. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. That God-given right is being challenged this year. It's being challenged, as the song says, you all just sang it, the wicked oppressing. The wicked oppressing. Governors and mayors telling us if we can gather and the conditions under which we can gather and the number of our family and friends who can gather with us, and it's being done under the guise of protecting us from a virus. But before we're influenced by that kind of thinking, and before we change our plans, and I hope you won't, if you got a family of 50, you got a house big enough to hold them and a turkey big enough to feed them, you have them in your home. But before we're influenced, before we change our plans, there's something we ought to remember. 102 pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. Not one of them died on the voyage over, which is a miracle in itself. But after they got here, that was another story. Governor William Bradford wrote in his book, Off Plymouth Plantation, He wrote these words: "That which was most sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half of their company died, being infected with the scurvy and other diseases, one of which Governor Bradford referred to as this wasting plague. He said that 2 or 3 died in one day, and out of 100 and odd persons, hardly 50 remained. And of these, during the time of greatest distress, not more than 6 or 7 were sound." So think about it. Here's a pandemic that had a mortality rate of nearly 50%. It had an infection rate of 86%. And yet, in the aftermath of all of this, what did the pilgrims do? They had Thanksgiving. They had Thanksgiving. And here we are. Here we are. In this age of medical advancement. And by the way, we really are. This vaccine that is, one company's 95% effective, one's 94%. And I don't know your feelings about the vaccine. I know there are people say I wouldn't take it. That's fine. It's your choice. But it's a miracle that between March and December, there is a vaccine that's been created. Amazing. It takes years, usually. So a picture of the regulations, 12 stacks, 12 feet high, that the president had to get through to get this fast track, this vaccine fast tracked. In 1960, the regulations were like 12 inches high. This is where we are in this country. It's a miracle. But here we are in this age of ease and comfort and medical advancement with a virus that has a mortality rate of 0.08%. And an infection rate of 7.7%. Now let me give you the pilgrim numbers again. 50% mortality rate, 86% infection rate. And here we are, canceling and restricting Thanksgiving. Folks, the virus is a pretext. It is a pretext to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. And we have got to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Psalm 100 is one of the old paths, where is the good way. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There are 7 commands in this psalm. 7 commands to the people of God concerning thanksgiving. First one in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Second one in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. These are commands. The third one in verse 2, come before His presence with singing. The fourth one in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. The fifth one, enter into His courts with praise. The sixth one, be thankful unto Him. The seventh one, bless His name. 7 commands to the people of God concerning thanksgiving. And here's man. Here's government saying we need to cancel thanksgiving. We need to cancel it. Folks, keep coming back to Acts chapter 5. We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now someone might ask us, Why? Why is Thanksgiving such an important observance? Why are y'all up in a lather about it? I want you to see why. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read it, verse 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now I want you to notice the words in verse 24. "And when he had given thanks." When he had given thanks. And the words in verse 25. "After the same manner also." He did the same thing in verse 25 that he did in verse 24. He gave thanks. The Lord's Supper was a thanksgiving service. It's a wonderful thing, Lord willing, Wednesday night. We're actually a week later having it. But I think it's such a wonderful thing. Wednesday night, on the evening before Thanksgiving, that we have the Lord's Supper. In remembrance of Him. When we remember, what do? We're thankful. We're thankful. The Lord's Supper was a thanksgiving service. And notice the one who is giving thanks. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus giving thanks for the bread. Giving thanks for His body that was about to be broken. The Lord Jesus is giving thanks for the cup, His precious blood that was going to be shed on the cross of Calvary. Now, why would He give thanks for the cross? Because it was the joy that was set before Him. Because it was through His suffering and death on the cross of Calvary that He would bring many sons unto glory. And who are these sons? John 1:12. "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Who are these sons? "It's Him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The cross, folks. The cross is the reason for thanksgiving. It's the reason that we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's the reason that we can serve the Lord with gladness. The cross is the reason that we can come before His presence with singing. It's the reason that we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Think about that. The Lord Jesus entering into His courts, His gates, His courts. How is that possible? Because the Lord Jesus hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us. He's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. The cross is the reason to be thankful unto Him. And bless His name. Because of His great love wherewith He loved us. He so loved us. He delivered us from so great a death. The cross is where we see. It's where we learn that the Lord is good. You want to look for the goodness of God? Look to the cross. That's where you see it. The cross is where we learn that His mercy endureth forever. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The cross is where we learn that God is good. It's where we learn that His mercy is everlasting. And that His truth endureth all generations. Folks, the message of salvation has never changed. It's still the cross. It's still the blood. The choir sings that song. I love that song. It's still the message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message of thanksgiving. Have you believed it? Have you believed it? You can. Right where you are this morning, you can repent of your sin. You can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can ask Him to save you, and He will. And then, at this season of thanksgiving, you can offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know the thing about a gift? You can't be thankful for it until you take it. You can look at it, you can know all about it. But until you take that gift, you can't be thankful. If you're lost this morning, will you not take the gift? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And salvation is as simple as taking that gift. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this Thanksgiving season. And we pray that we would obey God rather than men. That we would honor You this Thanksgiving as we have in other Thanksgivings all of our lives. We pray that we would walk in the old way where is the good way. That we would not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And Father, we pray that if there are any here who are lost today, that they would see that at the very center of Thanksgiving, the very reason for thanksgiving is the cross. And we pray this morning that they would turn to You from their sins and trust You as their Savior. If we know You today, we pray that we would offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving, even the praise of our lips, the praise of our hearts, for all that You've done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 499. We'll stand together and sing. Let's look to the Lord in the closing prayer as Mr. Terry Cole leads us.
Father in heaven, I'm grateful and thankful for this opportunity to be blessed with this day. Hear your word spoken with such great power. Thank you so much, Lord, to led us to the ministry here in the church. We've been advised truth. Truth based on you. Here it is.